you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are so good all the time. I just bless you tonight, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher. You are the comforter. You are everything we need, Father. And tonight we just lift you up and we glorify you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And sit down. Not too long ago, I was in for early prayer, and I was sitting there, and I was telling God how much I just loved being here. Just being in church, it just feels so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's sweet to worship with fellow believers. How good I feel when I'm here. And the Spirit said to me, "You've become accustomed to my presence. Do not take it for granted. You are missing what I'm doing. Miracles have become commonplace and expected." And then last week, our sister Diaz from Mesa came, and she talked about honor. To honor someone is to not treat that as common. And I've been thinking about how easy it is to just become accustomed to the things of God. To have heard enough words and sentences and phrases spoken that they become cliche or trite. We just use them as a quick response without really giving it any thought, without really asking God for the wisdom that goes with our understanding. And so in studying that, how do I honor? How do I honor what you've put in me? How do I honor who I am when I look in the mirror, I see something different than what I'm sure that God sees in me? I see the natural me. I know me well. I've become very accustomed to myself. But I've also become accustomed to being saved. I've become very accustomed to being in grace. I love it. It's like that bubble bath of grace that Pastor Lee always talked about. It just feels good. It's good to know that. And I become accustomed to that, very comfortable there. And so I wonder if I've really treated it as common, commonplace, expected. Do I value that? And I want you guys to just take a really deep breath. You just did a miracle. Did you know that? We've become so accustomed to breathing. I take it for granted until it stops. Till I can't breathe. And then all of a sudden it's not so common anymore. So the Lord's been taking the ladies' Bible study through a teaching on being an ark of the new covenant. And I want you to just, the word ark, the meaning of the word ark is a vessel or sanctuary that serves as protection against extinction. That's why Noah's boat wasn't just called a boat. It was called the ark. It was a vessel set apart to keep things from becoming extinct. And isn't there a scripture in the Bible that says that we can lose the word of God in one generation? This vessel is a vessel set apart. It's been sanctified by the blood covenant that we walk in. Do I honor that? I'm aware of that, but I wonder if sometimes, maybe all too often, I become accustomed to that. I know how that feels. I like the way that feels. I like the assurance of being born again and saved and sanctified and set apart and going to heaven and having grace and living eternity with my Father. And I love that. And so I've become very comfortable there. And we should be. That should be where we're comfortable. But am I honoring that? Or have I started treating it commonplace? Like breathing. In the Old Testament, the Ark is called both the Ark of the Covenant and the Ark of Testimony. John, I think if you could bring up Numbers 17, 8 through 10, real quick. I know I asked you to bring that chart up first, but let's look at Numbers 17, 8 through 10. You can turn there in your Bibles. Why is it called two different things? A covenant is an unbreakable agreement, and it also stands as a testimony to that agreement. You cut covenant with your wife or your husband when you marry, and there's a license that is a testimony of that covenant, right? Both are to be held in high esteem as obedience to God. God's covenants are a testimony of his love and power and provision and presence in our lives. Okay, so now if you'd bring that graph back up. What did God put in the ark? Let's look at Hebrews 9, 4 through 5. I don't know if you can read that, so I'll just read it to you. It holds the rod of Aaron. It holds a gold vial with manna. And it holds the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And why did God pick those three things to put in there? I think, I'm going to just present this to you, not as the gospel, but I think he picked those things because they represent power, presence, and provision. The rod of Aaron, what did it do? When it was thrown down, it turned into a serpent. It was a dead thing that came to life. It was used to speak curses into being. And there were many of them that they used that rod and began to speak curses. And Pharaoh began to see things happen that were supernatural. The one that always cracks me up is the one about the frogs. And they said, well, we can get rid of those for you. He said, okay, how about tomorrow? I'm like, tomorrow? Why would you want to have frogs all over everything overnight? I mean, ooh. I've never been able to figure that one out. Why tomorrow? And then I thought, you know, because how much do we put off till tomorrow? How much are we comfortable living with? It's probably never intended to be part of our lives or who we are. And we're comfortable with it. We've become accustomed to it. And so we put off till tomorrow, don't we? What's on top of the ark? It's the mercy seat. Because we have a covenant of grace, mercy. Our covenant is a covenant of chesed. I want you to write that down. C-H-E-C-E-D. Chesed. It means mercy. And it was represented in the covenant, and we just went through it in Samuel with Pastor Chad. It was the covenant between David and Jonathan. A brother family covenant of holding on to each other, honoring one another. And it's represented when David asked, isn't there anybody alive? Is there anybody that I can show this mercy to? Is there anybody that I can express this chesed covenant? And they said, yeah. One of his descendants lives up the road. He's a little cripple guy named Mephibosheth. And what happened to Mephibosheth? They brought him in, and guess what? He could have just said, well, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to have a relationship with you. Here's what he did. It went, he said, no. You come in here. You're going to live with me. You're going to eat with me. You're going to talk to me. You're going to sleep in my house. You're going to walk with me in the cool of the morning. We're going to visit. We're going to spend time together because I want you to be a part of me. That's the kind of covenant we've got with God. Come in, sit down, sup with him, talk to him. Go back into having a personal relationship where you're comfortable and accustomed to talking to him all the time. But honoring that as a privilege, an opening. The manna is set apart there. We were talking about the reasons for manna. Because that is a supernatural provision. It had to be received every day. It was new every morning. If they tried to hoard it, if they held on to it, what happened? It rotted. They couldn't eat it. And if it was left out in the world, it disintegrated. It's set in the ark, preserved in the ark. Provision, daily, constant provision by the hand of God, supernatural. Have you ever had supernatural provision in your life? If you received the Holy Spirit, you got supernatural provision. You have, the Bible says you have all you need to walk according to the things that God has called you to walk in. And then the stone tablets that represent the old law. The stone hearts, our inability to obey what God set for his children. Those have been replaced by the new covenant of mercy that does away with the old and gives us the new, the different. We're not held to that old law to be what provides for us our salvation and our hope. So what becomes our testimony then, our ark of testimony, our ark of the covenant? I was reading about the ark, and all of a sudden, dumb old me, the light bulb went on, and I went, oh, we are the ark of the new covenant. This vessel was purified by the blood of the Lamb, brought into a covenant with God. I became an ark, a place of preservation for the things of God, his word. My testimony, the testimony that is housed within the word of God, that covenant promise, a new covenant that he set apart for us who come into Christ by faith and by grace. Am I honoring that vessel? Am I saying I am the ark of the new covenant? I am to be preserving that. I woke up here a couple of weeks ago and I literally just rolled over in bed and went, what is my purpose here? Why? What am I doing here? I mean, I know there's a reason why I'm here, but the reason and the purpose is different. What is my purpose? And out of that has been birthed this study. You are to be the ark of the new covenant. You're my vessel set apart to, you're a vessel, a sanctuary that serves as protection against extinction. You want to put that number two? Oh, you did. Okay. In this ark of the new covenant, there's some things that begin to come to us as we studied this in the ladies' Bible study, and I'm just going to share a few of those. His word is powerful. If in the same as the rod of Aaron, when God picks me up, something comes alive. The rod of Aaron also budded. It didn't just bud, it budded, and then it blossomed, and then it bore fruit. Almonds. When we get born again, there's that supernatural thing that happens that says you're a new creation. You just budded, blossomed, and bore fruit just that quick. You got the Holy Spirit, and now you have the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, all of the love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness. We have power that we didn't have before. We have come to life. We've come to life. Take that deep breath again. A miracle just happened. Because it can stop like that. Do I honor my breath as a miracle? I mean, that's the simplest form of a miracle that I can think of. And salvation. You know, when I was in ministry on the road, we saw a lot of salvations. It got to be where we just expected it to happen, because we knew if we preached the gospel, people were going to get saved. It didn't happen every time we ministered, but we were always looking for it. We always knew that it could happen and probably would. Caught myself the other day, somebody was talking about leading someone to Christ, and I went, oh, that's nice. What? That's not common. That's uncommon. That's a supernatural miracle of the hand of God. The Holy Spirit moved on that person and woke them up and brought them to a place where they were born again. That is not common. That is miraculous, supernatural stuff that goes on after we come into the kingdom of God. Have we taken it for granted? Those of you who so kindly and sweetly go and take food to people who are hurting and who need help and pray with them and visit with them, I've come to have a huge respect for, just anybody who wants to serve and love, and they'll just take a plate of food and sit and visit and pray. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. The world doesn't do that. And yet we've come to expect that. Well, of course, somebody's going to do that because that's the right thing to do. No, that's the supernatural thing to do. Are we doing supernatural things and we've just figured that that's just customary? Or are we honoring those things? Am I honoring the fruit? When someone is kind, am I going, well, that was kind of you? Or am I going, huh, that was an act of God. That was the Holy Spirit manifesting in you as fruit and gifts, and honoring that? Or have we just decided, well, yeah, that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to do that. Yeah, we are. But can I do it in my natural self? I've been a year and a half taking care of an 85-year-old woman with dementia, and let me tell you, it's an act of God, and it takes a miracle. I have come to respect that. I have come to understand those who pray their way in and out of a house and take care of that. That's a supernatural thing. That's one of the gifts. And when it manifests, do we honor that? Or has it become commonplace? Well, yeah, of course. We expect that. We expect that. Supernatural provision. How many of you have been supernaturally provided for? I have. I've had people show up at my door when I was raising two kids by myself before God sent me this precious man over here, And I've had people walk up to my house with a box of groceries, and it kept my kids from being taken away from me and sent to live somewhere else. Thank you, Jesus. Supernatural provision. Manna. The reason I think the stones represent his presence is because it was his finger that wrote on those stones. And doesn't the Bible say his finger is what writes his word on our hearts? When I'm searching for a scripture verse or help and the Holy Spirit quickens a verse to me, that's a miracle. You can call it a little miracle. You can call it a big one. I call it a big one because I don't memorize scripture. It's something that, believe me, I did a happy dance when somebody told me, you don't have to memorize chapter and verse. You just need to know what it says in here. I was like, oh, yay. Yay. But I don't want to take this and treat it as common. I don't want to read it and go, wow, that was really good. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pick that up and go, this stuff's holy. This stuff brings things to pass. This stuff holds promises that God fulfills. This is supernatural stuff. And when I pick it up, I should honor it, not treat it as common. This isn't just another book. This isn't an Andrew Womack book, although I love his and I read him and I absorb them, but they're supernatural. But this, not like this one. Not like this one. Do I read it like I would read Andrew Womack's books? I hope not. I hope not. This is not common. This is supernatural, uncommon, amazing stuff. And God's presence writes his word on my heart every day. Thank you, God. Even if I'm not reading this, he's still writing it on my heart. Do I honor that? Or have I come to expect it because I know he will? When I pray, is prayer supernatural stuff? I mean, when we pray, it says God hears us when we pray. No, honestly, sometimes I'm like, really, God, you heard me? Because I'm not feeling anything. I'm not seeing answers to my prayers. And then I go into this self-condemnation thing. Well, did you pray enough? Did you pray right? Did you pray long enough? Did you apply the word? Did you? And I realize it's not about me. It's not what I did. It's about that I did this supernatural thing called talking to God. The world can't talk to God. They can talk at him. They can talk about him. But can an unsaved person talk to and communicate with Father God? Does he hear him? He hears him. But it's like somebody's kid running by and talking to me. I'm like, oh, hi, how are you? That one, yeah, nice to see you. But when my kids run by and talk to me, it's different. I hear my kids. I hear my grandkids. But I love other kids. I think they're great. And I love that they'll stop and talk to me sometimes. But it's not the same. Not the same. There's something supernatural about communicating with our Father. Do I treat it that way? Do I come into that and say, I'm about to enter into something supernatural here. And I honor that, Father. I taught here a while back on yielding. Do I yield and wait and honor that? Honor his presence? Honor his word? Not treat it as common? I mean, that hit me so hard that day that she was here. I mean, that was an incredible message all the way around. It hit me right between the eyes. But part of it was that honoring means not treating it as common. Do I treat the fruit of the Holy Spirit as common? the gifts. There was a time when we were in ministry, I moved in all of the gifts. All of them. Because I knew they were supernatural gifts that manifest themselves through me when I made myself available. And it was that simple. And it wasn't about learning about prophecy or learning about how to work miracles or how to pray right or how to do this or how to... It was just, here I am, Father. That person needs a miracle. That person needs a word of knowledge. That person needs a prophet to give them a word that will minister to their heart. You know what they need, Father. Just use my mouth. And there it is. But I look back on that, and it got to where it was so familiar, and it was happening so much that I just took it for granted. That was going to happen. And all of a sudden, it started drying up a little bit. God had me doing something else for the kingdom. But I don't treat those as common. Those are uncommon. It's coming to my mind right now about uncommon valor. In the service, lots of men are valiant. I don't think you can be in the service and stay in the service if you're not valiant. You guys that have been in the service, am I right? There is a valiant person in you that rises up. But then there's this uncommon valor. When you're called to do something above and beyond the call of duty, above and beyond what you can do in the natural, you get a supernatural burst of a gift, and you're able to do things that you never could do without that supernatural gifting that just blows up inside of you. That's not common. It doesn't happen all the time. And the world can't do it. The world can't do that stuff. How much can you do that's uncommon? A lot. A lot. Now, how do we do that? I think it's as simple as not treating it as common. Not treating it as common. I want to look at, did we look at John 6, 31 through 40? I don't think so. And there's the first part of it, but I want to keep going down from there because it says, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven. But who is our bread of life now? Who's our bread of life? And how did we get that? Through this new covenant. Now he said, you're not going to be obeying my laws that I wrote on stone. I'm going to write them in your hearts, and you will have an uncanny, supernatural desire to walk in them, to follow them, to let them rise up in you. And then all of a sudden, it's not common. We're not just doing things. We're having this supernatural urge and ability to do something that we couldn't or wouldn't do before, right? John 6, 31 is just the start of it. It's just the start. He says, I am who I said I am. I will do what I said I would do. I will be who I said I will be. I will have a supernatural relationship with you if you'll let me. If you'll be like Mephibosheth. If you'll just crippled, broken, however you are, not perfected yet, come in and respond to that thing that says, come in here. I want you to sit down here at my table I want you to eat with me. I want you to sup with me. We're going to talk all night. I had friends come and visit me back when we were at the ranch. It was a long way out there. And when people came out, sometimes we hadn't seen people for months at a time. And when they got there, we were up all night talking, sharing things. Come in here and sit down and talk to me. I want to visit with you. I want to commune with you. We're going to talk about things. We're going to eat together. And then I got a bed for you in my bedroom so you don't have to leave. And God bless that baby. I love it. His little tummy feels so better now. And you know what? We can even do that when we sit down to eat with God, because if that happens, it's funny. You know, it's okay. It's okay. He didn't call us in there to sit down and be perfect and to use the right fork and use the right spoon and eat the right order and eat your salad first. It was just get in here, sit down, and come and have some fellowship with me. That's supernatural stuff. That's uncommon. Uncommon. Are you the Ark of the Covenant? And if you are, when you look in the mirror, and I'm getting better. When you look in the mirror, you go, you're the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to have a good day. You're going to go out and bless somebody. You're going to take this covenant, and it's your testimony. When we were on the road, people always wanted to come and share their testimony. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, okay. Well, then for half an hour, they'd have the microphone, and for 25 minutes, we'd have to hear about all of the terrible things that happened to them in their life, that the enemy did. And then during the last few minutes, it'd be, but God. And I got to where people would ask to share, and I'd say, you know what, yeah, you can, but here's the deal. You got 5 minutes. The first two, you can talk about whatever you want to. The last three, they better be talking about God and what he's done for you and what your testimony really is. You know, people just all of a sudden didn't want to do it so much anymore. But what is our testimony? And I was as guilty as anybody. First time somebody asked me to share my testimony, I thought that's what you were supposed to do because that's what everybody else was doing. Now I know that has nothing to do with you being the Ark of the Testimony. You're a supernatural vessel set apart to keep the Word of God from becoming extinct, to keep the fruit and the gifts from being extinct, from disappearing, from being treated as common and unnecessary. How many churches believe that these gifts are unnecessary? They've treated them as common. And guess what? They don't work for them. So how much other stuff doesn't work for us because we've become accustomed to it and we're treating it a little bit common? It brought me under conviction in a good way. In a good way. Wow. Wow. Am I really honoring? I thought I was. But then when you read the real definition, it's like, no, I wasn't. You ladies, when you stand up here and sing on Sunday morning, we've become, oh, I love that. I love it. They just moved me into the very throne room of God, and we get into worship, and I expect it every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, it's not common. It's uncommon. Do you hear me? It's uncommon. When you open your mouth and you start singing the Word of God, it's not common. It's uncommon. And it bears fruit. When Pastor Chad gets up here and the anointing hits him and he starts preaching things that he probably didn't even know himself, happens to me all the time. It's not common. It's uncommon. Do we honor that? Or we just assume, well, he studied and he knew what he was going to preach, so there you go. He does it every Sunday. Hallelujah. Write it down. Take it home. Think about it. No. We're about to enter into the presence of God, because his word was with God, and the word was God. See? We're about to enter into the presence of God. And we come in, and we hug each other, and we pat each other, and we talk about heaven only knows what. I wonder what would happen if when we came through that door, we acted like, this is uncommon. I'm entering into the presence of God. There's nothing common about this. I've become accustomed to it. To the point that I expect that when the ladies start singing and the music starts, I'm going to feel and I'm going to enter into worship, and it'll be expected and it'll be common. No, 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 no. Oh, it's uncommon. It's uncommon. I bet John looks at my notes back there and goes, lady, where are you? That's not where you told me you were going. That's not the scripture verse you told me you were going to use. Bless you, John. Thank you, anyway. So now, I'm going to ask you guys to do something uncommon. We have a friend. I don't know him very well, but there are people in this room who know him very well. He used to go to church here. His name is Caesar. And I'm going to have Stacy come up and share a little bit. Because tonight we're going to pray for an uncommon miracle. He has had a death sentence placed on him by the doctors. Common crap. They do it all the time. But I don't believe it. And we've become a little discouraged because sometimes we pray and we don't see it happen. And we prayed and that's not what manifests. So tonight, I want something uncommon. I'm not giving up. Stacy's not. We're not giving up. In this church tonight, we're looking for an uncommon miracle. How many of you have seen miracles? I've seen the blind receive their sight. Another person that Stacy knows was given a death sentence. They're not dead. They're alive and well. So we're going to be in agreement for something uncommon to happen for Caesar. Are we brave? Do we have the courage to say we don't care what the doctor said? We know that we have a God who is a God of miracles. And he needs one tonight.
I don't think it matters the circumstances of the situation. Basically, he got sick, went to the hospital, got pneumonia. They put him on a vent. Airlifted him to Phoenix. A couple weeks later, took him off the vent, gave him a trach, and he's been breathing through that for the past week. And now he's fighting a second round of pneumonia. I think the main issue is it could be any one of us, and we're all brothers and sisters in this body, and he was a part of this body, and I think he still is a part of this body, because I don't think once you get born again in church that you can walk away. You're always a part of the body. And I was encouraged tonight to be able to pray in a corporate anointing for his wife and his employees, and especially his son, are discouraged by what they're hearing. And I've told them, I've seen several people, and even the doctor told her this last week. He said, don't give up on him, because he said, I've seen literally 100 people worse than him walk out of here. But then all of a sudden it went from positive to not so positive. So I think it's shadows, and I know that no matter what, I know where he's going eventually. I just don't think it needs to be now. And I think that I'd appreciate some help with that. Those so for Caesar and his wife Deanne, and his son Quentin, it's a really hard.
And Carol just got a message. Our brother Don Nenny went to be with the Lord tonight. So we need to lift up his family, Darlene and her family. Don was ready to go. He said, I want to go home. And so he's with the Father. He's in a better place than we'll ever know until we get there. So Father, I am not eloquent in prayer, but I know you, Father. I know that a long time ago you told Caesar, come in and sit down with me, let's talk. And I know he knows you. And that is nothing common about that. It is an uncommon relationship. And Father, because of that uncommon relationship, you, your son, bore stripes. Stuck to a whipping post, and you bore those stripes so that we could be healed. And so tonight, Father, we just speak those stripes over our brother Caesar. By his stripes, you are healed, Caesar. Father, we ask you for an uncommon miracle, a glorious miracle. And we ask to strengthen his family by the power of the Holy Spirit, to give them a gift of faith. One of the gifts of the Spirit is a gift of faith. Loose a gift of faith in their hearts, in their souls. Let their spirits come alive with hope. We look for that miracle, Father, that uncommon miracle. And for our sister Darlene tonight, another uncommon miracle, an uncommon strengthening, an uncommon nurturing. We thank you that Don has seen your face. What a glorious thing. What a beautiful, uncommon thing to see your face. Now, Father, I ask also that you would visit Caesar. You would visit him, that he would feel your presence, he would feel your touch, he would know your love beyond anything that he has ever felt or understood before, that comfort would arise, that the presence of the Holy Spirit would bring peace and hope, healing, your healing virtue, Father, poured out. Not just there, but Father, so many in our body are hurt and broken and need a touch from you, physically, emotionally. Marriages that need to be healed, broken hearts that need to be mended, relationships that are staggering. Let them be restored and reconstructed in the eyes of God in that uncommon relationship. We would look at one another and know something uncommon is in this person. His name is Jesus. Reveal yourself tonight in that hospital room, Father God. Reveal yourself. show them how uncommon you are. Visit Darlene tonight, Father, holding her and comforting her. Those that aren't here because they're sick or they're hurt, heal them, Father God, supernaturally, in that uncommon way that you have of being the God of creation. Thank you, Father.